I'm Mike Salem. Welcome to the Christian Worship Hour and our classic broadcast from my dad, Pastor Salem. We are grateful to continue broadcasting because of your prayers and financial support. Thank you from all of us at CWH. We received such a nice letter from a viewer in North Carolina that reads, "What a pleasure and blessing it must have been to work with Pastor Salem. Thank you for the work you are doing for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It is a true blessing to become part of the CWH family." And from Michigan, a note reads, We so treasure the messages of Pastor Salem. Prayers that your broadcast with the message of salvation reach countless numbers." Now let's hear from my dad on Psalm 95, which first aired on his 95th birthday. We hope this message will be of encouragement to you. God bless you.
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. Another week has rolled by, and here we are, and we're going to have a great time. And I'm going to have a good time because it's my 95th birthday today, and I'm going to preach about the 95th Psalm. And so if you got a friend, call him, see, and tell him there's a fella, he's 95 years old, and he's going to try to preach, and have him tune us in and see what's going on. We're looking at Psalm chapter 90 today, and verses 9 to 12, where the psalmist tells us, "For all our days are passed away in thy youth. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 80 years. And if by strength of reason they be 80 years, yet in their strength labor and sorrow. For it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Who knoweth the power of thine anger? Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom." Heavenly Father, we thank you for every day that you give us. And we believe that the day of our birth is marked, and the day of our death is also marked in your presence. And for that, we give you thanks. And we're going to give you all we have and serve you as all we can in every way possible. So we pray you'll bless this service, use it to bless people and to honor our Lord. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Jan has a song, "My Redeemer is Faithful and True." And God bless you, Jan.
Mercies are new.
Well, thank you, Jan, and I'll say an amen to that, because 95 years and the Lord has never failed me a single time. I don't know how many times I've failed him, but he's never failed me. And he'll never fail you if you put your faith in the Savior, if you take Jesus into your heart. He'll never leave you or forsake you, and he'll keep you forever. So we just thank you for such a wonderful Savior. We want to thank you for all of the letters you write to us. We want to share some of them with you. And by the way, if you want to look up the scripture, we're going to be using Psalm 95, and we'll look at that in just a few minutes. But we want to thank you for the letters, and I'm going to share some of them with you. The first one is from Port Richey, Florida. And this is one of the ladies writes, I watch your program every Sunday morning at 4 a.m. I'm a soldier in the Salvation Army. I pay my tithes in service to them. I had this $100 and I given me, and I prayed to put it in my God to put it in my heart what I should do with it. I believe God put your ministry in my heart. I enjoy listening to you and can understand what you're saying. You preach the cross, and that's what it's all about. God bless you and your ministry, your sister in Christ. And we just thought the Salvation Army does such a wonderful work. We just appreciate this letter and this gift. And this is what we've always been telling you over and over. Just ask God what he wants you to do. If he says don't give him anything, don't give him anything. But if he says you help him and he'll tell you how much, you just pray. And then we'll go as long as God wants us to go. And when he stops telling people, we'll stop. Just that simple. Here's a letter from El Dorado, Arkansas. Being at a spiritual impasse at this phase in my life makes me question everything that I've always believed. My life has descended into a cesspool of something so horrid. I can only see darkness and feel emptiness. Would you sow a seed of some of your life-transforming material, your choice, into my life? Thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to read and to consider my request. May our loving Father continue to bless you and with the faith of Abraham, the heart of David, the wisdom of Solomon, and the mind of Jesus Christ in brokenness before him. Well, we've written to this lady, and I'm going to tell you something. That's why I love to preach the gospel, because there's always hope. As long as you have life, there's hope. Once you die, then it's this all settled. It's heaven or hell. But in this life, there's never a sin too big. There's never a cesspool too deep. But what the God will save you. And that's what the psalmist talks about. He says he was in a slimy pit and he couldn't get out. And how God came and took and established him and set his feet upon a rock. That's the beauty of the gospel. That's the beauty of Jesus. And that's what we're preaching about. And we're praying that, oh, that you'll put your faith in the Savior and find that wonderful joy. Here's one from Veblen, South Dakota. Please send some information for my son. He accepted the Lord. Thank you. And that just makes our day, because, that, you know, our Christian worship hour, we have three things in mind. The first goal is to honor God, to praise God, to bring glory to his name. That's the first thing. The second thing is to help people accept Jesus. And when we talk about accepting Jesus, we simply mean that you come to Jesus and in your own words, you ask him to come into your heart and take away your sins. You tell him you're a sinner and ask him to take away your sins. And you need to tell him he's a sinner. He knows it, but he wants you to confess it and say, dear Lord, I'm a poor lost sinner. I just ask you to please come into my heart and take away my sin. And then you tell him that you'll serve him the best you can. You'll make him the Lord of your life. And then you thank him. Then you tell somebody. That's what we mean, accepting Jesus. That's the second thing, our goal. And our third goal is comfort God's people. And it's not always the old people, especially the old people we're thinking about, but they're young people having struggles and having trials and troubles and sorrows. And so God told Isaiah, comfort ye my people. That's exactly what we're doing in Jesus' name. And then we have a letter from South Bend, Indiana. My husband and I listen faithfully to the Christian Worship Hour. Through your faithful preaching and by God's grace, we have grown in the Lord. We do know him as our wonderful Savior. Your services are the highlight of our week. Blessings. And right along with that, let me tell you something we have. We have a little booklet, and it's called, Can a Christian Lose Their Salvation? And the answer is absolutely not. And so here people are growing in grace and the knowledge of the Lord. And if you'd like to have this little book, we send it out on a free will offering basis. I'll give the address in just a minute. And so as you get your pencil and paper ready, I'll give it to you. But it's called, just write and say, Salvation. And it gives how you cannot lose your salvation even if you wanted to. And I know that's going to raise some eyebrows, but just read the book. Then you can tell me off, but read the book first. This little only about 14 pages. It won't take you forever. Here's Missoula, Montana. This is from the ladies' prison there. Thank you for the materials you sent to me. It was an answer to my prayers. I read my Bible, but I need direction, and your books have given me that. It's not easy being in jail. I quit praying for my own freedom, and instead I pray for the other girls. I figure God is using me here and that he will let me out when he's good and ready. Again, thank you and God bless you. Now, that's a beautiful letter. It's beautiful, first of all, because here's a dear lady and she's found Jesus and she's growing in the Lord and she's not praying for to get out. She's praying for the girls with her there, praying for their soul. And the second thing that makes it beautiful is she's saying, I'll get out when God is good and ready. And that's the way we all have to live. We have to live giving our life to the Lord Jesus Christ and then let him lead. And when he takes us home or when he takes us to hard places or brings us out of hard places, it's his plan and it's his purpose and it's his timing. And that's what we want. And the thing that makes it beautiful is that all things work together for good to those who love the Lord, to those who are the called according to his purpose. Romans 8:28, and it's just wonderful to put our hands and our lives in Jesus' hands and let him lead, and he'll always do the right thing. Only way to live. Here's Englewood, Florida, and I like this one. She says, thank you for the great work you're doing and allowing me to have a wee small part. She is thanking us that she can send her gifts of help us in the work. And that's exactly right. It's a privilege to give to God's word, to work, give to God's work. And here's the one that's talking about it. And it doesn't matter how much it is, it's a giving to God's work. And you're having a part in it. And when these people come to the Lord or when older other people are helped or when God is blessed in different ways, you have a part in it. Praise the Lord. Brandon, South Dakota. You are so loved by the residents of the nursing home in Scotland, South Dakota. I want to give so they can keep watching. And wouldn't we love to go to Brandon and see the people in Scotland, South Dakota, and see these people in a nursing home. We hear from all kinds of nursing homes, retirement homes. People can't get out. And we're just so glad to do that because that's part of our calling. And that's why God is blessing this ministry. He's blessing us because we're helping people and we're preaching the Word of God. We're preaching the Bible. That's where the power is. As I've said so many times, you can get a parrot up here and preach, but that's the Word. That's no power in the preaching. It's in the Word of God, precious Word of God. One more letter, Moorhead, Minnesota. In February this year, my husband passed away. About 2 months before he died, we were listening to you on Sunday morning. He received Jesus and forgiveness of sin. I pray for the Christian Worship Hour that then many more may come to Jesus. Isn't that beautiful? Just a few little while, and then God took him home. And that's what we do on the Christian Worship Hour. We urge you to ask Jesus into your heart to come to Jesus. You can't get into heaven if you've got one speck of sin, and you all got it. We've all got it. I've got it. And when we go to Jesus, he'll cleanse us of our sins. And he says, their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. They're gone. And so just praise God. And when you give, you have a part in helping you, had a part in bringing this man to the Lord. But we need your help, and I'll tell you how you do it. You write to us, the Christian Worship Hour, and the box is 2002, we're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. If you want to, you can get us on the ChristianWorshipHour.com, and people send us over with PayPal or some of these credit cards. I don't know how they do it. The girls do it. They don't let me do it because I get it all mixed up. And I'm mixed up anyway, so I just do the preaching. They do all the work. And so you can write to us, and you can get on that Christian Worship Hour. You get ChristianWorshipHour.com, and then you say, it says, donate. And you punch that or whatever you do. And then it'll say, PayPal. And then you can send money from anywhere in the world, and we get money from all over the world, and it comes in American money so we can pay our bills. And it's called PayPal. So you see, you pay, and you're our pal. If you don't pay, you're still our pal, but we'll probably go off the air. We don't want to do that. And then if you're wondering, oh, I wonder what they do with all that money. I bet they got cars, and I bet they got boats, and I bet they're squandering that money. See, and I'm not sure, but maybe some of them do. I don't know. But I'm going to tell you about us. We are a member of what's called, it's an international organization called, where you give the money to the Lord and you can pay it, and it's called the Evangelical Council. I get that thing mixed up. When I talk about money, I get nervous. Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. And you write, and then you can get a check. They check everything that comes in. They check everything we pay out, and we're clean as a hound's tooth. And so your money is secure. And then one other thing I'd like to tell you about is the new song, and that's a little Bible study we have. And in this month, we're talking about what is true love. And it is sent free and postpaid. So you write to us, the Christian Worship Hour. Got it on the screen there, Christian Worship Hour. The box is 2002. We're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And we'll give God all the glory, and we'll use it to honor his name. So now Jan's going to play. I'm going to pray first, and she's going to play, and then you pay, and we're on our way. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for those who have supported this work now for over 38 years. And some of them, Lord, many of them are in heaven now, reaping their rewards. And so we need some new ones to step in, others to help us. So we pray, Lord, you'll just speak to hearts and just give us what you want us to have, and we'll give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Jan. Appreciate your ministry of music. It's always a blessing and a help in our service. We're reading from Psalm 95, the first 7 verses, if you have your Bibles. And I know that some of you get your Bibles out, you sit there, and you're all ready, just like you're in church, and that's just fine. And you can follow along. And we're going to pray for Mexico today. And I got a little letter that I never thought about Mexico as having a place of persecution, but someone wrote in and said, I'd like to suggest Mexico, which oddly enough is going through a tremendous Christian persecution in the South. Many are being driven from their homes, beat, and forced to pay large sums of money to be left alone. And so we have brothers and sisters in Mexico. We'll pray for them. But first our scripture, and then we'll include them in our prayer. Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In his hand are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is his also. The sea is his, and he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. And Heavenly Father, we thank you we can be the sheep of his hand, that we can be the people of your pasture and the sheep of his hand. Thank you that we can have you as our good shepherd to guide and direct and to lead us through life. We just love you, dear Lord, and just thank you that that's possible. And it's our prayer today that everyone was watching and everyone on shortwave radio, that everyone will turn to you if they've not done so before, and that all over the world there'll be people turning to you, Lord, and calling on your name of the Lord, because you've told us that whosoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. You've told that you stand at the door and knock, and if any man hears my voice and opens the door, you will come into our heart and our life. And so we pray, oh God, all over the world there'll be people turning to you. And then, Lord, we're thinking about our brothers and sisters in Mexico, just south of us here. And we just pray that you'll just help them and encourage them. We pray that when the testing comes, that they'll have that strong faith and they'll stand true to you, Lord. We pray that if that temptation or that testing or that trial comes to us, Lord, that we'll be worthy enough and strong enough to stand up for the faith, even if it costs us our life. We just pray for them and pray that you'll comfort them and encourage them. Help them to know that all over the world people are praying for those dear friends in Mexico. So now we pray for our service here, Lord. We pray that everything that is done and said will be done to the honor of your name, and that you'll be pleased with this service. In Jesus' name, amen. Hank has a song, Blessed Be the Name. God bless you, Hank.
Thank you, Pastor.
Before a thousand come to see, blessed be the name of the Lord. The glories of my God and King. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name. Blessed be the name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name. Blessed be the name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He breaks the power of cancel sin. Blessed be the name of the Lord. His blood can make the foulest clean. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name. Blessed be the name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name. Blessed be the name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I never shall forget that day. Blessed be the name of the Lord. when Jesus washed my sins away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name. Blessed be the name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name. Blessed be the name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name. Blessed be the name. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Well, Hank, God bless you. Thank you. And now Hank doesn't know this, but when I went to seminary 76 years ago, we sang that song, Blessed Be the Name. We had one of the professors, and he loved that song. We sang it so many times, and it's a wonderful, wonderful song. And I can say, you know, on my 95th birthday, I just want to bless the Lord and thank the Lord because he's been so good to me. And we're looking at this psalm, and in this psalm, there's three things that I'd like to point out. First of all, I'd like you to see that God is faithful. God is faithful. And then we want to look at God is good. And then the third point is God is great. So first of all, we look at the faithfulness of God, and it stands out in this 95th psalm over and over. For instance, the psalmist talks about that faithfulness. He says, let us sing unto the Lord. And then he talks about, let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Because God has been so faithful and God has been so good and he's blessed and he's helped. And so they're making a joyful noise. They're singing to the Lord. And then he says, come before his presence with thanksgiving. And that's in the second verse of this psalm. And so when we think of all that God has done for us and all he's doing day by day and all he's going to do in the things to come and the glory to come and the glory of heaven and all the eternal blessings, we give thankfulness to the dear Lord Jesus. And then it says, make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. And so here they're emphasizing again. And some of us aren't very good singers. I love music, but I really, I've never sung a solo, to be honest with you. Never sang a solo. I've never been in a beauty contest. And so that's just life for me. But I can be happy and I can make a joyful noise and sing unto the Lord. And then it says, come, let us bow down and worship in verse 6. So again, this great and wonderful God, he is so faithful to us that we give our appreciation and with great joy we bow down and worship him. Kneel before the Lord our Maker. So over and over he's telling us time and time again, this wonderful, wonderful God is so good and so kind and so faithful. Jeremiah put it exactly right when he tells us in Lamentations chapter 3, verses 22 and 23, it is the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. And every morning we get up, every morning for 95 years, God has been good to me and been faithful to me. And he's just blessed and helped me. And so I can personally, you know, I accepted the Lord when I was 10 years old. And so for 85 years now, Jesus Christ has been in my heart. And I can tell you that over those 85 years, now I'm 95, and all those years, God has always been faithful to me. He's never broken a single promise. He's never been there a single time when I couldn't pray to him and talk to him. He's never refused to take my burdens and help me in my troubles. He's never denied me his fellowship and his nearness and his closeness. He's never abandoned me in a battle. And the psalmist knew what it was to have battles, and we all have these battles. And psalmist writes in Psalm 27 and verse 2, they came to eat up my flesh. When they came to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. And so when they would destroy me, they come. But God, they tremble and they fall and they fail and they never knock you down. That's what this wonderful Savior does. And I can tell you something. God has never failed me, but I I am so sorry that I failed him so many times in so many ways. But he's the wonderful grace of God. And he says, my grace is sufficient for thee. He says, my grace will cover all of your sins. And you're never going to get out of my care. And so I think how close Jesus was all the time. All the time in my life as I made that travel, that journey, coming to my 95th year. It's a long journey. It's a long ways. And there's been a lot of ups and downs and ins and outs and changes and all of that. But the God had told me, I will never leave thee or forsake thee in Hebrews 12:5. He said, I will be with you. I am with you always, even to the end of the world or the end of the age. And so he tells us it doesn't matter what the day is, whether it's sunshine or shadow, whether there's a calm or whether there's a storm, he's always there. And in the midst of the storm, just like when the disciples were out on the Sea of Galilee and a storm came and they thought they were going to perish and they thought Jesus was back yonder on the mountain praying. They were all alone and then they see him walking there and he never was very far away from them at all. And then when Peter wanted to walk on the water, and I remember Mother always had a little Bible story book that she'd read us. And it had a picture of Peter, and the boat was right there, and he was sinking. And if I painted that picture, I would have painted Peter about a block or two way out on the sea. He walked out on that water. He didn't stop right to go down right at the edge of the boat. He was walking to Jesus. And then he looked at the storm, and he looked at the wind, and he heard the rain and the wind and all, and he took his eyes off of Jesus, and he began to sink. But the point is that Jesus was always there. He never was far away. And that is so wonderful to live like that, that I know he's here. And I've seen some of these. I've been with these dear people in death. I've seen them go. I've seen loved ones go. I saw my wife go to heaven. I mean, when she just died. I didn't see her go into heaven like Elijah, but I was there with her holding her hand and she was gone. And that's a hard time, and I've been with others who've gone through those struggles and lost children and had sorrows, but God was always there. Jesus was always there. And you say, I've had people say, sometimes they say, oh, their husband died, and they'll say, I don't know, I can't go on without him. I can't make it without him. But all of a sudden, they make one day and another day and another day, and Jesus never let them go, and he helped them. And as you lean on Jesus, He is so faithful. And maybe I always think of a little song that Phil Johnson has. And it goes like this. The eyes of the Lord are upon me. He sees everything I do. The arms of the Lord are around me. He keeps me safe and secure. And then the chorus. And the chorus goes like this. And although there were times I stepped out of his will, I've never been out of his care. And God is saying to God, his people, and he's telling me and he's telling you, and I know some of you are watching for beds of sickness and some of you are in wheelchairs. And I know some of you are young people and you got out of college and you got a debt, you can't get a job. I know that some of you young people are wondering, what am I going to do with my life? What choices am I going to make? And then some of you are struggling, who am I going to marry and what will I do? And there's a lot of times when you need help, and this wonderful Lord Jesus is there to help you. It's not just the aged, but it's the young and the children, some little children whose parents divorce or have some sorrow or hard things come into their life, or children with cancer. They have their problems too. And so God says, comfort ye my people. And so we think of people of all ages. And we tell them God is faithful. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He's never away far, far from you. Sometimes people say, I pray, and it just doesn't seem like God hears me. It just seems like the skies are brass, and I can't get past it to God. Well, that's just in your mind because he's always there. And he's just as close as your breath, and you just talk to him. Maybe you have sin in your life. You need to confess it because that hurts fellowship with the Lord and just cleanses you and just tell you if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins, cleanse us from all unrighteousness, and he'll clean it all away and you have that sweet fellowship. Oh, God is faithful. And then I want you to see that God is good. In this 95th Psalm, David portrays God as a good shepherd. In verse 7, 95, chapter 95 and verse 7, he says, "He is our God. We are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand." In the 23rd Psalm, David talks about God as his shepherd. And this God, he says, "God is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd." David didn't know anything about Jesus. Hadn't been born of the Virgin. But then when Jesus came and he walked among men in the John the 6th chapter, Jesus tells us that I have come and I care for my sheep. He says, "I am the good shepherd. I lay down my life for the sheep." That's chapter 10. He says, and again, "I lay down my life for the sheep. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father." And so we can say, instead of David saying, "The Lord is my shepherd," we can say, "Jesus is my shepherd. And he's with me. And I'll never fail. I'll never falter because he'll always be with me." So there's a true picture. We're all poor, lost sinners. We're all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And if we die in those sins, we are going to go into a Christless eternity called hell. In Revelation 21, verse 27, God declares, "And there shall," he's talking about heaven, "and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life." And so we are all sinners. We're hopeless, in a helpless condition, and we will never enter heaven's doors with one speck of sin. So what do we do? What can we do? Well, then the good shepherd comes. And Jesus says, "I'm the good shepherd. I'll lay down my life for the sheep. I'll go to the cross. First of all, I'll go to Gethsemane, and I'll sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. And I'm sweating there not because I fear the cross, because I'm happy to go to the cross, but I'm sweating the blood because I'm taking it on my holy, sinless, pure body, all the sins of the world." Can you imagine? No, you can't imagine it. None of us can imagine it. That's why he sweat, as it was, got great drops of blood. It wasn't that he was afraid to go to the cross. Hebrews says, "Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross." He was happy to go to the cross and to pay for our sins. And so he suffered in Gethsemane, and he suffered on the cross, and he dies. The shepherd dies for his sheep. He's raised from the dead, and he's living forevermore. And so I'm now at 85 years. He's been my shepherd. He's been my good shepherd from the day I was a little lamb, just born, a 10-year-old boy. 85 years ago, he took me in his arms, and he carried me when I was struggling, and I didn't know up from down, and I didn't know anything about the Christian life, except there was a Jesus, and he died for me, and I was coming to him. Isaiah talks about how that he carries us in his arms. He says, Isaiah 40, verse 11, "He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs in his arm, shall carry them in his bosom, shall gently lead those that are with the young." And so as a little lamb, God took me. As a newborn Christian, I needed help. I needed somebody to take care of me. I was about to faint, and he took me in his strong arms, and he carried me. And then listen to what he says in John chapter 10, 27 to 29. "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them." And he says, "They follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." He said, "My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all. No man is able to pluck them out of my hand." Don't miss it. It's not me hanging on to Jesus. It's Jesus holding on to me. I don't hold him. He holds me. I was with one man. He was telling his wife, and she was dying. He says, I told her, "Hang on, hang on." No, just lean on Jesus. His arms are around you. He carries us, and he helps us. People talk about holding on. Forget it. See, people say, "Oh, I don't know if I really am strong enough. I don't know if he'd do that." I think it was Charles Haddon Spurgeon who told about the story of a man who worried because he thought he had such little love for the Lord. He says, I don't know if I love him enough. I'm trying to love him, but I don't know if I love him enough. The man was a Christian, and then he was taken very ill, and it bothered him because he felt that if he didn't love God, God wouldn't love him. And the pastor spoke to the troubled man, and he said, when I go home from here, I expect to take my baby on my knee, look into her sweet eyes, listen to her charming prattle, and try, and tired as I am, her presence will rest with me, and I love that child with unutterable tenderness. But she loves me little. If my heart were breaking, it wouldn't bother her a bit. If my body were racked with pain, it wouldn't interrupt her play. If I would be dead, she would die. She would forget me in a few days. Besides this, she never brought me a penny. She's never given me a single penny to help me, and yet she's at a great expense to me. I'm not rich, he said, but money, there's enough money in the world to buy my little girl from me. How is it then, he says, does she love me, or do I love her? Do I withhold my love until she loves me? Does God withhold his love until we love him? No, he loves us in all of our mistakes and all of our failures. That's what's a wonderful Savior. I love that Christ. He is so good, and he takes us through life. Wasn't it St. John who said, herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us. 1 John 4:10. So God leads, and he carries the little lambs in his arms, and I'm so happy for that. But now, wait a minute. I'm not a little lamb anymore. I'm 95 years old. I'm an old gray head. Now what do I do when I can't run with the flock anymore? What do I do when I'm feeble and frail and faltering? What do I do when I can't remember names anymore? What do I do when I can't read the fine print anymore? What do I do when I can't do a full day's work anymore? When I can't walk anymore? When I'm in a wheelchair? When I'm in bed? What do I do then? Well, listen to God. Isaiah 46, verse 4. Listen, even to your old age and gray hairs, I am he, and I am he who will sustain you. I have made you. I will carry you. I will sustain you. I will rescue you. Do you hear me, my friends? Let me read it again. Isaiah 46, verse 4. This is God saying, even to your old age and your gray hairs, I am he. I am he who will sustain you. I have made you. I will carry you. I will sustain you. And I will rescue you. He's not talking about the little lambs. He's talking about the old gray heads. Talking about me and a lot of you that are watching and listening, checking in. The psalmist prayed, do not cast me off in time of old age. And then Thomas Dorsey put it like this. When the darkness appears and the night draws near and the day is past and gone, at the river I stand, guide my feet, hold my hand, take my hand, precious Lord, lead me home. After 95 years, I can tell you God is faithful and he is taking us home and helping us home. And then God is great. God declares in this 95th Psalm, verse 3, for the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. Again, David proclaims in Psalm 86, verse 10, thou art great and doest wondrous things. Thou art God alone, this wonderful God. Just think of this, how wonderful God is and how that he's with me and caring for me and he knows all about me. When God made his covenant with Abraham, he said, I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven and the sand which is upon the seashore. When I started my ministry 72 years ago, there were people that said, we can count the stars. We know how many stars there are. And when they compare the stars with the sand, the Bible is wrong. That's way off base and you can't trust it. That's what they taught us. But do you know what modern telescopes and astrologers say? The Milky Way alone, that's a galaxy that we're in. They say they have 100 billion stars. Now stay awake, wake up and listen to this. There are 100 billion stars. The astronomers estimate there are 10 million galaxies with 10 billion stars. You know what the astronomers say? They think maybe there's more stars than there is sand on the earth. That God, but I'm not done yet. Listen to this. Psalm 47, verse 4. 147, verse 4. God determines the number of the stars and calls them each by name. How do you like that? By name, can you think of that? This wonderful God, here we can take all of the millions and billions of stars and he talks to them but talks and calls them by name. Can you beat that? My God, I don't know how you can pass God up when you have a wonderful God like that who knows all about us and he knows us and all and he cares. And so maybe you're in old age and maybe you're on your deathbed and maybe you're at the end of life or maybe you're young and just starting out and you don't know which way to turn. There's a God there and he knows your name and he'll help you. He's a good and a wonderful God. He's great. Sometimes mortals like to be called great instead of God. They have great thinkers and great inventors and great scientists and great athletes and great achievers and all of the rest. Sometimes people want to be called great, and they have Alexander the Great, Herod the Great, and there was a King Louis the 14th. He was a proud, vain man. He insisted they called him Louis the Great. King Louis the Great called him the Great. And he was a great man in some ways. He ruled from 1643 to 1715, 72 years. He had the longest reign that any ruler ever had in France and maybe any of the other nations as far as we know. And not only that, he had the most magnificent, extravagant court in all of Europe. He was great. Well, I guess he was great. And not only was he a great king in life, but he wanted to die that way. And so he, St. Louis the 14th, minutely planned his funeral. And he called his priest in, Jean Baptiste Massillon, who happened to be the best preacher in France at that time. And he was a priest who feared God, and he didn't care what the king thought or anybody else thought. He preached the Bible, the word of God. Massillon, he gave orders, King Louis gave orders, and these were the orders for his funeral. He was to lie in state in spectacular fashion. He was to have his funeral held in a golden coffin in Notre Dame Cathedral in Paris. And he further instructed that at his funeral service, in the entire cathedral was to be completely dark. It was to be lit dimly only by one little candle positioned above his casket to show that the late king's presence was there even in death, if you can imagine it. When Louis died, Massillon did exactly as the king instructed. But at the funeral, thousands came and waited in hushed silence as they looked at that exquisite, beautiful coffin with the one little candle flickering there. And then they saw him. They saw the priest come in. Massillon came in, and he ascended to the pulpit. And then, to the surprise of everyone, he reached down and snuffed out the candle. And in that total darkness, he said, "Only God is great." And I'm going to tell you, that is a defiant cry. There's a one God. Thou art God, the psalmist said. Thou art God alone. But let me close with this single word, one more thing out of this psalm. It tells us in the 11th verse, "Unto whom I swear in my wrath that they should not enter into my rest." Now, God is talking about Israel. And they would not listen to him, and they would not repent, and they had to suffer in the wrath of God. And in verse 7 it says, he says, "Today if you hear his voice, harden not your heart as in the provocation," as in that day of Israel when they refused God and wouldn't repent and wouldn't turn. He said, don't harden your heart. And I'm wondering today, my friends, how your heart is. God is telling Israel, if you refuse me, only judgment can come. There can nothing else happen if you don't have me and you don't repent. There's nothing can happen but judgment. Jesus tells us in John 3:36, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but what? The wrath of God abideth on him." If you reject Jesus Christ, you're taking the wrath of God. Today, God is a God of love, and he wants you to come. He died for you. This wonderful God, he's telling you, we're telling the scriptures in 2 Peter, He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. We're told in John 6, verse 37, Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Here told in Isaiah 1:18, Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Isaiah 55, verse 6, Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 2, Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. This great God, if you reject his Son as your Savior, you're going to see the wrath of Almighty God, and God have mercy on your soul. It is appointed unto men once to die. Hebrews 9, verse 27, It's appointed unto men once to die, and after that, the judgment. That is, once you die, there is no accepting Jesus. There's no loving God there anymore. To those who reject Jesus, there's only a God. Well, what are we told in 2 Corinthians 5:11? Knowing, Paul says, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Persuade them what? Persuade them to come to Jesus and find eternal life. God hates sin. And if we die in our sins, God is going to punish us. And in Psalm 95, verse 11, Unto whom I swear my wrath, they shall not enter that place. So whosoever will call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that's why I love to preach. I love to preach. I love to preach because I have good news. I can tell you that anyone can come to Jesus if they want to. St. Paul said that he was the chief of sinners and God saved him. So if he can save your chief, he can save you. No matter what your sins that I have, people tell me, if you knew all the things I've done, you know that God would never take me. I had a woman tell me one time if I was baptized in that water, the water would turn black. Well, baptism doesn't take away any sins. It wouldn't turn anything. There's nobody beyond the grace of God except a dead man. And in this life, you need to come. And so I know right now the Holy Spirit is talking to you all over the world. He's saying to you, I'm standing at your heart's door, and I want to come in. I want to be your Savior. I want to write your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. I want to make you my child. I want to make you a part of my body, a part of my bride, the church. I want to, my arms are wide open. My hands are wide open. My nail-scarred hands are wide open, and you need to come. You say, I want to come, but I don't know how to come. Well, it says when the scripture says in 1 John 1:12, he says, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. And whosoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So you just pray, dear Jesus, I'm a poor lost sinner. I ask you to come into my heart and take away my sins. And I'll turn from my sins the best I can. And I'll serve you as long as I live. And then you thank him and tell somebody. I'm going to pray that you'll do that, and then you write to us at the Christian Worship Hour. The box is 2002 in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. You write to us. We'll send you some literature. But now let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that you're a loving, kind Father in heaven. But if we die in our sins, you're a terrible judge, an angry God. Because we didn't have to die in our sins, we've heard the message. We know the way. The Holy Spirit is talking to us right now. Oh, God, may there be multitudes of people all over the world that'll just pray, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Save me for Christ's sake. And then he'll come into their hearts. Oh, God, have your way. That's what we pray in Jesus' name. So we're just praying that you made that prayer. Pray that you'll write to us. We want to write to you, Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002. Aberdeen, South Dakota. And if you want to, you can get us on ChristianWorshipHour.com. We'd like to hear from you. And we want to send you some literature. And we want you to pray for us as we pray for you. We want you to think about this wonderful Savior and all that he will do for you. I'm 95 years old today, 95 years. And I can tell you from experience that there's no one like Jesus. There's no other friend like Jesus. There's no one that'll care for you and love you and stand with you when the world turns against you. There's no one that can go with you through that valley of the shadow of death. You have to go by yourself except David who said, I fear no evil. And he said he didn't fear evil because you were with him. Thou art with me. And so only you can do that. So, dear Jesus, we're just praying. And we're just thanking you for your kindness and your mercy. And we're praying there'll be people everywhere opening their heart to you. And to those on beds of sickness, we pray that they'll just help them, encourage them, and help them they're not alone, that you're always with them, guiding and directing. And though it may seem that they don't see you and they can't feel you or touch you, you are there by your Spirit, and you'll never leave your own or forsake them. So we just love you, Lord, and we love all of the Christian Worship Hour. We're doing this because we love people. We love their souls. We love Jesus, and we love those for whom Jesus died. So he died for you, and it's all in vain unless you come. So God bless you. We'll be looking for you next week, Lord willing, in Jesus. Amen.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. For the 76 years he was a pastor, he wanted everyone to know that Jesus loved them, died for them, and rose again, so that anyone who calls upon his name and repents of their sin will have eternal life in heaven. And for those of us that have received Jesus and are born again, Dad wanted to encourage us to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. I'm Mike Salem. To learn more about having a relationship with Jesus, visit our website at cwh.org. You can also stream this message again, as well as other 30 and 60 minute programs. Locate a station in your area. Subscribe to our monthly newsletter called A New Song. View frequently asked questions answered by Pastor Salem, as well as newly released devotions, and submit a prayer request on our Pray For Me page. Our weekly program will also be available on our website, our Facebook page, and our YouTube channel. We hope you have been uplifted by today's program. Please pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel through the Christian Worship Hour. We would be most grateful. Thank you, and God bless you.